I'm with the Stop Mass Incarceration Network. I'm here with Reverend Frank Wolf from the USC United University Church. We're here with Reverend Dan Lewis of First United Methodist Church. We're here with the Ramirez family from Paramount, California. Their brother and their son were shot down by sheriffs in Paramount last year. And we're here on the occasion of the murder of Walter Scott in Charleston, South Carolina. And this murder comes just days before April 14th. April 14th is the day to shut it down in the United States. Stop business as usual. No work, no school. We're not going back. Say no more to the system that's giving a green light to the killer cops. And I just want to say, to start out here, with April 14th coming up, anybody with a shred of conscience, anybody who has a claim to opposing police brutality and police murder, needs to be in the streets, needs to be acting in all kinds of different ways all throughout the United States on April 14th. And if there's anything that points to the urgency of this and the importance of April 14th, it's the recent murder of Walter Scott in Charleston, South Carolina, on top of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people who have been murdered by police throughout the United States. I'm going to start with a formal statement, then we'll give it to Reverend Wolf, and then we'll have Christian Ramirez, Oscar Ramirez's brother, speak, and then we'll open it up for interviews with the media. On Saturday, April 4th, Walter Scott, a black man, was shot at 8 times by North Charleston policeman Michael Slager. Scott was struck 5 times, 3 times in the back, once in the upper buttock, and once in the ear. Multiple bullets to the back killed Walter Scott. At least one bullet entered his heart. After murdering Walter Scott in cold blood, Slager handcuffed Scott. Slager then drops an object next to Walter Scott's body. This is all on videotape. Slager has been charged with murder. This is shocking, yet not at all surprising. Shocking because you can see the cop chasing Scott and gunning him down as he tries to flee, and because it appears Slager planted evidence to make it look like Scott was some kind of a threat. Also shocking because you see other cops come onto the scene and watch what appears to be evidence planting occur. But none of them said anything about it before the video got out. There have been many, many cases of cops murdering people, including more than a few where the murders were caught on videotape. There have been many, many cases where witnesses to these murders have said that the cops planted evidence to try to justify their criminal actions. And in almost every single one of these cases, the system let the killers walk free. Walter Scott's murder concentrates an escalating and intensifying slow genocide targeting black and brown people in the United States. Scott's murder comes on top of the murders by police of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York, 12-year-old Tamir Rice in Cleveland, Ezel Ford and Omar Abrego in Brother Africa on Skid Row by the Los Angeles Police Department, and countless other people. In fact, since the chokehold murder of Eric Garner in New York on July 17th last year, over 800 people have been killed by the police in the United States. A staggering number of people. On April 14th, Tuesday, students nationwide will walk out of school, take over buildings, and go on strike at colleges and high schools nationwide. People will gather and march in cities all across the U.S. Here in Los Angeles, on Tuesday, April 14th, people will converge right here at the LAPD headquarters at 1 p.m. with this message. The normal routine of this society includes wanton police murder of black and brown people. Everyone must disrupt that normal routine. Shut it down on April 14th. Thank you. Next, Reverend Frank Wolf, USC United University Church.
Let me begin by saying thank you for being here, and then let me spell my name for you. My last name is W-U-L-F. It is ironic to me that the murder of Walter Scott happened in the Christian calendar on the day before Easter, a day when we, in between the brutal execution of Jesus on Good Friday and then the day that we celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. It's ironic to me because in this so-called Christian nation, this kind of thing continues to take place. We know that what the videotape shows in Walter Scott's murder is that this pattern of behavior in which a police officer kills somebody and then we're normally left only with the police officer's word and the fellow police officers about what happened, and again and again and again police officers are exonerated for this for these murders, for these killings. And in this particular case, we have the good fortune that somebody was brave enough to take a video and then brave enough to share that video so that we were able to see that there was much more involved than just a policeman reacting to threats. In fact, the only threat that was present in North Charleston was the threat against Walter Scott. He was the person who was in threat from the moment that he was stopped by the police officer until the moment that he was shot dead. And the planting of evidence is just one more piece for us to ensure us that we do not know what happens in most of these police killings. And the police version of the accounts cannot be followed, cannot always be trusted. And so we are left simply with the string of police killings over and over and over again. And black and brown people are killed in a disproportionate number to other people killed by police. People with mental illnesses are killed in a disproportionate number to other people that are so-called normal people in this society. So people on the margins, people on the fringes are consistently being targeted. And they're not just being targeted for murder, they're being targeted for harassment by police forces. They are being incarcerated at rates that are extraordinary. At this particular point in time, as you all know, the United States incarcerates far more people than any other nation on earth, in spite of the fact that we are not the largest nation on earth. And the vast majority of those people that we incarcerated are black and brown. So we are dealing with a situation that is intolerable. I, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a Christian pastor in this nation, have to say on the basis of my faith that this must stop. You cannot continue to kill black and brown people. In fact, you cannot continue to kill mentally ill people or any people wantonly in my name. You cannot continue to do it in the name of a nation that claims to be more religious than any other nation on earth. A nation that follows various religious principles that tell us that love is stronger than evil, that love is more important than evil, that love is more important than hate or fear. If that is true, then we need, as religious people, as people of faith, to live our faith. And we have to say no. That's why I'm supporting April 14th. And I'm supporting the need for us simply as a people to stop the system down, because by not stopping the system, we are giving tacit support to this policy, to these practices of criminal injustice that are taking place in our society and taking place in what is becoming more and more of an obvious way. The good news is that it's no longer underground, it's no longer hidden, it's beginning to come out where all of us can see. But now that all of us can see, we have a moral obligation to do something. And from my perspective as a person of faith, I'd say we have a religious and spiritual obligation to do something as well. Our faith will not allow us to do anything different. So I am supporting April 14th, and I hope we can get religious people, people of faith out, as well as other people on the streets on April 14th to say no.
Ramirez and the family of Oscar Ramirez, murdered by police in Paramount, California by LA County Sheriff.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate that we woke up to this, you know, as a norm. Like, where we see just another shooting that occurred, and it's becoming just a norm. And people sometimes tend to look away until it hits close to home, and it's your loved one that's killed. And, you know, when it happened October 27th, we weren't aware of, you know, we were aware of the shootings that occurred with other, you know, other victims and other people that were killed in this manner, but we didn't think it was going to be to this gravity that we would be shaking to our core, and our family is pretty much welcome to a nightmare, a new reality that we live in. You know, you hear kids, if you go to like these cities, metropolitan cities, you know, where it's either, you know, black or Latino kids, and you ask them now, you know, when a sheriff arrives or a firefighter arrives at a location, what do you think the firefighter is going to do first? They'll respond to you, hey, they're here to save our life. When it's a police officer or a sheriff, they actually respond to you. Now they're actually responding saying, hey, they're here to take our lives. That's what it's becoming to, like, where they're more afraid to speak, to even cooperate with police officers, because all they know is their cousin, uncle, brother, son is killed in this manner. So they're scared to even, you know, cooperate to a police officer or even say hello, because they feel like they're threatened. I mean, I would hate to be, you know, in a city, I'm driving by, I get pulled over for, you know, a minor traffic violation. The next thing, I make a sudden movement and I get shot and I'm dead. You know, I would hate to wake up to that. And unfortunately, this is what we're waking up to. You know, this was what happened in South Carolina. You know, I'm glad there was someone there recording it, you know, because it would just be another police against a dead witness. And hopefully April 14th could, you know, make a change and people could actually come out here and really see, talk to the victims, talk to the family and witnesses themselves, and actually support this from happening again. It's happening way too often, and we needed to stop. And I mean, if this picture doesn't speak volumes to you, you know, you see it happening all over the place, New York, Missouri, Indiana, you know, Texas. It's just happening way too often, and we needed to stop.
Thank you, Christian. Next, we're going to have Oscar Ramirez.
Oscar Ramirez Sr. I give a thanks to the media and everything to help us. We saw the crime they did with my son, because they kill it, you know, without any weapon. After they kill it, they went to my house looking for a gun. The gun never found any gun. And that's so that was the night they killed it. They were over there with in my house looking for all the switching the Oscar's thing and looking for the gun. He didn't find anything. So, and after they left, so next morning they told me, okay, oh, we got a bad news. What is the bad news? Oh, your son got a confrontation with the police. What do you mean that they got a confrontation? He never carried any gun, anything. So that was the notice they gave me. Okay, his son. He got a confrontation with the police. So I mean, they killed him. What happened? Oh, he died. So that was the stupid answer, you know. So why? I don't know why. Everybody got a. In a big country with the right equals, all of those police killing us. Why they gotta? You got to put it in the justice and find out what he's doing. You know, that's all I can say. A la media, a todos los canales en español también les comunico. Pues gracias por lo que han hecho para resolver el caso de nuestro hijo y otros casos de todas esas personas latinas que han sido, yo lo puedo decir, no, muertas y sacrificadas por la policía injustamente, sin ninguna razón o algo, porque si tienen toda la fuerza y el poder que les brinda este, que yo no veo, si por una persona aparecen 50, 100 policías con squad y todo eso y no puede agarrar una sola persona desarmada, desarmar es injustamente incomprensible. Cualquier persona lo diría. Si tienen toda la fuerza y el poder para una sola persona, digo, injustamente millonadas que gastan tontamente, estúpidamente, y no poder agarrar una sola persona para llegar a los medios a esa altura. Tiene que haber, yo lo que podría decir, un cambio inmediatamente de la policía y ver todas esas personas también, porque así como ellos nos califican que anda la persona borracha o algo, también la policía está haciendo lo mismo. ¿Y quién los está supervisando? ¿Quién los está haciendo como civiles? Todas las personas también causamos errores, y ellos también, ¿quién está arriba de ellos supervisándolos? Que no anden drogados, que no anden haciendo algo, porque a mí me ha tocado ver personalmente personal de la policía que anda drogado. Una vez que tuve un accidente aquí en la ciudad de Bell Garden, me llevó un policía a la estación ahí de Bell Garden, y yo digo, ay, que anda, no, andaba bien loco, y no hay nadie, es lo que digo yo, debe que haber supervisores arriba de ellos también, viendo que esas personas están bien, como es por eso que andan matando gente inocente. Gracias a todos los medios de comunicación, y salir adelante y resolver nada más. Pues yo creo que podría decir por todo, para resolver el caso de mi hijo, que injustamente le quitaron la vida. Gracias a todos por su cooperación.
Once again, I wanted to say this murder of Walter Scott in North Charleston, South Carolina, underscores the epidemic of police murder, of murder by police, that's going on throughout the United States, nationwide, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, over and over and over again, racially targeted, targeting black and brown people, targeting mentally ill people. This has got to stop. Anybody with a conscience, anybody with a claim to oppose police brutality and police murder has to be out in the streets April 14th, Tuesday, all throughout the United States. Shut it down. Shut down business as usual. No work, no school. Say no more to a system giving the green light to killer cops. We have got to shut down business as usual, because the normal routine in this society is to shoot black and brown people over and over and over again, and that must stop. And we must learn from Ferguson, and we must learn from last year, when thousands and tens of thousands and even hundreds of thousands of people took the streets, blocked expressways, you know, did die-ins, you know, the medical students, the athletes, the celebrities, the students, the ordinary people got into the streets and said, no more, this must stop. April 14th is the day. It's the day to reopen and to reopen that vehicle for literally thousands of people across the country who hate what's going on, who are outraged what's going on, who demand that this must stop. Wherever you are, if you're in Los Angeles, come to LAPD headquarters at 1 p.m. Wherever you are, if you're in Seattle or New York, or if you're in Cleveland, or if you're in Atlanta, or if you're in Gainesville, Florida, or North Charleston, South Carolina, or Oakland, be in the streets. There are events planned throughout the United States. This is a nationwide problem, a nationwide epidemic. There needs to be a nationwide response to this. This is an outrage, what happened to Walter Scott. Unfortunately, these outrages are going on and on and on. They need to stop. April 14th is the day to do that.
Can I ask you a couple questions just related to the South Carolina Walter Scott shooting? Basically, the question I'm asking about, what do you think about their immediate response to saying a lot of this is being brought forward because of cameras out there seeing it, recording it, and sharing it. What do you think about the fact that they're right on the ball with saying we're going to put cameras on our officers? What do you think about how that could affect things? It'd be good, bad?
There was an article in The Atlantic today talking about precisely that, because the cameras that the officers are going to be wearing on their chests are voluntary cameras. They're not voluntary to wear, but they're voluntary to turn on or turn off. And those cameras will only provide one perspective on what is happening. And The Atlantic said today, and I agree with what The Atlantic said, that it's so very important that we have other perspectives and other cameras out there as well. Because in this particular case, if it wasn't for this brave individual who was videotaping the entire event, we would not have known that the police officer was lying. So it's very important that that we not simply rely on the cameras that the police are going to be wearing on their vests. That's not enough, and it's only one perspective, and it can be twisted. We'll see how it's doing.
And it being managed by the police department.
And let me say this to that. When there wouldn't be a quick response, as you put it. First of all, there's no guarantee here that there's going to be any conviction of Walter Slager or Tom Slager. There's no guarantee of that. But without what happened in Ferguson, without the thousands of people, you know, who took to the streets throughout the United States last year, there'd be an effort to push this under the rug. That's why we've got to stay in the streets. That's why on April 14th, people have to be in the streets. That's why we've got to shut down business as usual. Because without that massive outpouring of protest, this would just be business as usual. And that's not what this is now, because people have stepped forward, because this question of police murder is being put before millions of people, because this issue of police murder is exposing the actual reality of the United States, that thousands and thousands of people are being murdered by police. In fact, 800 people have been killed by the police since July 17th of last year, since Eric Garner and his chokehold murder occurred in New York. And we had a video in that case. And it was clear-cut murder, a chokehold, and he walked, okay? So this, no, we have got to stay in the streets here.
Today, it seems like a lot of people, when they see something happening, they don't know how it's going to turn out. They automatically say, I got a phone, I got a camera, I'm going to videotape this just in case. What do you think about that kind of almost becoming a norm and how it's affecting what we see these days?
Go for it. Keep doing it. It's important. It's essential.
What does that mean about back in Rodney King's day, it just happened to be a guy with a video camera who caught it, and it changed the environment on that case.
Completely.
But now everybody's got a video camera with them.
Right. And I think that we can't count on somebody else doing it. Each of us has to step up and take responsibility and do it ourselves. That's the only way that we're going to be sure that this gets done. It's part of what's going to make society work if we all take responsibility to say no. And part of that is as we've said, to videotape if you have an opportunity and you can get the courage to do it. But the other part of it is to do what Keith was talking about, and that's get out on the streets and say no in a very public and powerful way.
Can I get you guys' names? I want to make sure I get the spelling right.
I'm Reverend Frank Wolf, and the last name is spelled W-U-L-F as in Frank.
And your first name also?
Frank.
Frank. And that's F-A...
F-R-A-N-K.
Thank you.
Keith James, as it sounds. Yeah, Stop Mass Incarceration Network.
Can you spell it just so we get it right?
Sure. K-E-I-T-H and J-A-M-E-S.
Thank you.
Okay, now we'd like to encourage everybody to interview
tonight.
Tell me about that, because how could they justify doing that? What does it mean they're looking for a gun after they murdered
somebody? They murdered someone and said, we're here looking for Oscar. So they go through my dad's personal belongings without his household, without a search warrant. And then they said, oh, sorry, we just didn't find anything, you know. And my dad's like, okay. And they take off. And then they, and the LA Times interviewed the same lieutenant that was investigating. They said, oh, no, our police officers never went there. You know, my dad lives in a senior citizens complex, you know. There's cameras there visibly. My other uncle was present, you know, and they said, hey, we didn't show up. No, that wasn't us, which is a clear lie. They try to get something.
Was this after they killed him?
This is after they killed him. They killed him at 2:30 p.m. And during the day. They showed up to my dad's house like around 10 p.m. First, they showed up to my sister's household, because that was my brother's last known address that he had on his ID. He never changed his ID address. My sister's like, he doesn't live, you're losing my dad. And could you provide us the address? And that's how you got to my dad. I mean, we have people that, you know, literally saw the police right in my dad's household, and that now they want to deny they ever went there, you know, looking for evidence or trying to plant something or trying
to get
anything.
Think about what the cop is doing in South Carolina, running back to get
the taser,
he can put it next to the body so it's consistent with his explanation.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, you know, they're trying to find anything at all to and try to justify a killing, which, you know, unarmed, has his back turned. There's no harm, you know, to the police officer. I think it was just out of frustration and lack of bad training. You know, maybe they jumped the gun too fast. They bad shoot training. Now and ask questions later. Unfortunately, that's all they care about.
Suppose it's actually the way they're trained.
I would
suppose it's their job. Suppose they're carrying out their job. It's to wantonly kill the people who the system has kept in these conditions of oppression and degradation, to deliver the message that don't you dare think about.
Oh, I agree. I feel like that's why I was speaking with a younger lady a minute ago. I said, hey, maybe they go to these cities, they feel that that's the only way they need to respond is in a brutal, forceful way to just shoot first. You know, and that's the only way they could.
You strangled a man to death for selling Lucy's.
Oh yeah,
loose cigarettes.
That's just insane. Yeah.
They pulled Walter Scott over for a broken taillight.
Yeah, broken taillight.
And they had a lawyer on yesterday who said there are more people in prison for broken taillights than you can imagine.
Oh, I'm sure. They find a way.
A black man driving a Mercedes, even more serious.
Oh, that's already deadly as it is. You know, it speaks volumes, especially in the wrong area. You know, I mean, I could only imagine how that turn of events.
How do you feel
out.
About October of April 14th?
I think it's a good message. I think I'll be here to definitely support it.
You're going to be part of it?
Yes. I think it's something needs to be done, you know, and it's like becoming a norm, you know. I hate to just get in my car sometimes and I'm in the wrong area. I would hate to just pull over and I'm reaching for my driver's license and I get shot at, you know. It feels that way. It feels like, you know, look at these cases. There's no wrongdoing, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't play judge, jury, executioner all the time.
Exactly. Are you in touch with any other family members of other people killed by the police?
I've been in contact with Mike Juanita, another gentleman that was killed in Down. Mm-hmm. A gentleman that was killed down in the mm-hmm. city right next door. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been talking to the city board supervisors, Hilda Solis, newly elected. Oh, she's been helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been down there, you know, trying to just...
One thing that's very important is for the family members to... What you guys are doing is... And I know it's difficult. I can tell every time your father speaks, it must be a horror for me.
It is.
But you are sending a message that no one else can send in the same way. And if there's a way to actually reach out to other family members and encourage them to be part of April 14th...
Yeah, I will.
It would make a tremendous difference.
I got the flyer, so I'm sure I'll... Try to get a media post.
Contact me through my
okay.
email.
Okay, your name and tell me how to reach you.
My name is Diego Ramirez and my email is d.ramirez940@gmail.com. That's how you can reach me through Facebook as well.
Okay.